Well, now, if you'd open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke in chapter 5, the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5. For those visiting, we're in the morning going through a series in the book of Luke, and we're coming to into the section and have come into the section where he has begun his work of ministry, beginning with that sermon he preached in Luke chapter 4, after being tempted in the wilderness. He has begun healing and casting out demons. He has called to himself Peter and Andrew and James and John, calling them to be fishers of men. Now, as we come to chapter 5 and verse 12, we're going to look at verses 12 through 16 this morning. We see his encounter with a particular man who has a particular need that only Jesus can fill. And so we'll read this morning just those five verses, 12 through 16. But before we do, let us pray and ask God to bless it to us. Let us pray. God, this is your word. Your word is truth. This is your word to us. God, help us to receive it, not as the words of men, but as the very word of God. Help us, as we hear it, to store it up in our hearts and to practice it in our lives. Give us grace and give us your spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Beginning then in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, hear now the word of God. And it happened, when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Remember a few years ago, I would walk into a certain room in my home. And when I would walk into that room and I would shut the door, I would hear a very annoying noise. Every time I would shut the door, I would hear this squeak. And then it would remind me, I need to take care of this squeak. But often I would say, I'll do it later. And I'd forget about it. And then I'd come to the room again, and I'd open the door, or I'd shut the door, and there it was again, the squeak. But finally I got tired of it, and I went and got the WD-40. I said, I'm going to take care of this squeak. And I applied a generous portion to the hinges of this door. I wanted to make sure that squeak did not come back. And it didn't. It took care of it. Now, what I didn't do, though, is go around to every door in my home at that time and spray it down. I didn't do that. Why not? Well, those doors, at least to my knowledge, were not squeaking, were they? And so, when you think about that, we think about that saying that perhaps you're familiar with. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Or maybe, in my case, the squeaky door hinge gets the oil. Right? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Now, wheels can be squeaky in cars, hinges can be squeaky, but what about people? Can people be squeaky wheels? Now, parents, if you have more than one child, you probably have one that is a little more squeaky than the other. One that's a little more needy. Now, you don't have to identify them. They might ask you later, am I the squeaky one? Am I the needy one? And so you may tell them, stop it. Stop being a squeaky wheel. Stop being needy. Stop it. Or employers, maybe you have that one employee that you see constantly. In fact, you call them at the end of the day and you say, "Are you sick? Because I haven't seen you in my office today." And then you have other employees that you don't see except when it's annual review time, or rarely. People can be needy. But is it wrong to be needy? Is it wrong to be needy? Well, I think in certain circumstances it can be wrong. There's a way in which we can be overly dependent on other people, overly dependent on things of this world. But I can tell you one place that it is never inappropriate to be needy. In fact, I can tell you one place where it is necessary to be needy, and that is in your Christian walk. You must be needy. What you need to realize, and what I hope each of you realize this morning, is that you're all a bunch of squeaky wheels. You're all a bunch of needy people. And that's okay. Because the sooner you realize that you are squeaky wheels, that you are needy people, the sooner that you are going to come and find the only cure for that need, the abundant grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone that doesn't think they have a need, they're never going to come, are they? Because there's no squeakiness encountered. Now, as we come to this section, we're going to find a man who is very squeaky, very needy, this leper, and we'll look at that. But Jesus has just healed multitudes. Told that in the end of chapter 4. Demons came out of people crying, "You are the Christ." He told them, "Do not speak of it." Diseases, various diseases were healed. He spent all day long healing these diseases. And the word has continued to spread. And obviously, this leper has heard of Jesus. Because we're going to read that when he sees Jesus, he knows who he is, and he goes straight toward him. He is a man who understands his desperate need. He understands how needy he is. He understands that he has no way out of his present circumstance. And the only one who can relieve him of this leprosy is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we think about these verses this morning, I want you to be reminded that it is good to be needy. It is good to be needy because the needy always receive the grace. It's good to be needy because the needy, those who know their need, always get the grace. We're going to look at two things, though. We're going to look at the fact that Jesus always hears the needy, and we're going to look at this man and how needy he is, and then we're going to see how Jesus helps the needy as he responds to this leper. So Jesus always hears the needy. And really we see this in verse 12. "And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold a man who was full of leprosy." It's interesting, this is recounted elsewhere in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark, but they don't say full of leprosy. Here Luke, the doctor, gives us a more detailed description. This man was full of leprosy. This man was coming to Jesus to be heard, and he was desperate. He was desperate. So the first thing we see is that Jesus hears those who are desperate for his help. This man was full of leprosy. This had reached an advanced stage. One commentator called leprosy living death. You're not quite dead, but you're not alive either. The skin is affected. Now, there's a leprosy that is known today. I think this was a little different. Various skin diseases. But it affected the skin. It could affect the nerves. It could affect the internal organs and all of these things. But the worst thing for a leper at this time was the social and religious ostracization that he received. This man could not enter into worship. This man could not even enter into his own home. He was considered unclean. In fact, the book of Leviticus, according to the law, Leviticus chapter 13 and verses 45 and 46, This is what it says of the leper. Leviticus 13, verse 45. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall uncover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Put it this way. If we were to translate this into our modern context, you would not be able to come into this building. You would not be able to go into your home. You would have to go outside the city limits and be alone. That's what this man faced. And he was probably ashamed of his condition. He had to cry out and announce, I'm coming. The unclean one is coming. And in Scripture, this was a picture of sin. To be unclean, to be unable to come into the presence of God was a picture of sin. And so here is this man who we're told was full of leprosy. He's in a pretty bad state. Alone. Exiled from the covenant community, from his family. But I want you to know that you need to see yourself here. This is you. This is you. And I want you to understand that this morning. In fact, you may be in far worse shape than this leper. You may be not only dying externally, but dying internally. We might say that apart from Christ, you are a spiritual leper. And listen to these words from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, speaking of a sinful nation. Isaiah 1, verse 4, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot and even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Listen to that description of sin. From head to foot, putrefying sores. That's the picture of the state of man, sinful as he is before God. Your heart, your conscience, your mind, your will are all diseased by sin. In one sense, we may say that those who are born are dead long before they're placed in the grave. Dead in their sins and trespasses. Now, you know, this man had a physical disease. But that physical disease would go away with death. But for those who have spiritual leprosy, for those who have a spiritual disease, that will not go away at death. But will continue for eternity unless it is taken care of. Do you see how desperate of a need that you have? I hope you do. Do you understand how much you need the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus is not a commodity. Not something that you can take one day and lay down the next. Not something, someone you can serve when you feel like it. But you need Him. You need Him. This man understood this. This man was a man who had a desperate need, full of leprosy. But also it's a man who shows that he was dependent on Jesus for help. Jesus hears those who are desperate, but he hears those who are dependent upon him. Look at what this man does. This man, when he was full of leprosy, saw Jesus. And when he did, he fell on his face. He humbled himself before God. He understood that he didn't have any right to be there. But in humble dependence, he came to God and laid his face low. Now this is the key to receiving grace, humility. What does God say? James 4:6. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Well, this leper demonstrates that, doesn't he? He's desperate, he's dependent, but also, even though he humbles himself, he is bold in approaching Jesus. Look at the boldness that he has. I think it's bold that he was even here. Lepers were not supposed to be in the city. Lepers were supposed to be alone. They were not supposed to come near anyone. And yet here, look at the boldness of this leper. And the word choice here is important. Translated in the New King James Version as implore, elsewhere beseech. He implored him. This is a word that is often used of prayer. In fact, that's what we might call this, the leper's prayer, because that's what he's doing. We think of prayer as praying to God. Well, who is the leper talking to right now, if not God in the flesh? So he's praying to Jesus, and he comes and he says, I implore you. I am desperate. I am dependent. But now, because I know my desperation, I am coming with a boldness, because I know that you are the only one who can help me. I have nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to go. Again, thinking of Hebrews 4:16, what does it tell us to do in prayer? Come boldly before the throne of grace. Certainly, this is a picture of that, isn't it? Here is the King of grace, the one through whom all grace is given, and this leper comes boldly to him, knowing his need. Is this how you pray? Are you bold in your prayers? Do your prayers have... Could it be said of you that you implore God when you pray? You know, I think a good test of this is asking, would it matter to me if I really got what I prayed for? See, I think it would matter very much to this man that he gets what he prays for. So a key to coming in boldness before the throne of grace is to come as desperate and dependent people. Because if you're not desperate, if you're not dependent, then you're not really saying that you need anything. And you're not going to be bold. You're going to say a prayer. But when you are on your knees physically, when you are on your knees emotionally, you will be on your knees in prayer. Because you know your need. This leper certainly did. But then notice what he says. Jesus hears the needy. He hears those who are desperate for his help, who are dependent on him for help, who are bold in approaching him for help, but also who are hopeful that he is willing to help. That's what the leper says. He implores him, saying, Lord, if you are willing. Now, the Greek here is in a structure of, God, I know that you are a God who is, or Jesus, I know you are a man who is one who has shown yourself to be willing to others. I've heard the reports of you. But now, if you are willing to show your goodness to me, I think you are, but are you? It's kind of the sense of the Greek. So there's a hopefulness in his request. But that hopefulness in the will of God is followed up by a confidence in the ability of God. Notice what he adds. If you are willing, you can make me clean. That's a statement of fact. You can do it. You are able to do it. You are powerful. I know that you can do it. He had faith. Again, going to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who come to him. And this man came with faith. You are able. Are you willing? I'm coming to you. I'm asking you. I'm imploring you. I need this. I am desperate. Are you willing? Because I know you're able. Now, that's a challenge to us. Do you pray like this? When you come in prayer, do you come with a confidence? God, I know you are able to to answer my prayers. Particularly as we think of leprosy pointing to the real spiritual sickness that we all have, are you convinced, are you confident that God is able to cleanse you from all sin? Are you confident of that fact? Because if you are, then once you have confessed that sin to God, you will not bring it up to yourself again. You will not let the devil bring it up and accuse you with it. Because if you do, you're saying, I'm not that confident that God really has the ability to cleanse all of my sins as he promises to do. So in verse 12, we see a very needy man, don't we? He's a man who comes to Jesus and he is desperate. Desperate. We're not told how long he had this condition, but he's desperate. He falls on his face. He's dependent. But he boldly comes. He boldly comes, and he is hoping that God, in and through Jesus, will heal him. He is hoping that what God is able to do, he will do. And again, I want to reinforce with you that verse 12 of Luke chapter 5 is a description of you. Or at least it ought to be. You're needy people. You don't have it within yourself to redeem yourself. You need the Lord Jesus Christ just as much as this leper needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so do you know that? I'm not just saying here, but do you really know that? Do you understand how desperate your situation is apart from Christ? And are you coming to him boldly? Now, if you are willing to admit, yes, I am needy. Yes, I'm that squeaky wheel, that's a good thing. Because just like the squeaky wheel gets the grease, so the needy person gets the grace. And we're going to see Jesus provide that here. As we look at the second point, Jesus always helps the needy. And I want to show you four things about Jesus that we are taught here. And the first is that Jesus is an approachable helper. Jesus is an approachable helper. This man approaches him, he asks him this, and then what do we read of in verse 13? The first thing Jesus does is he put out his hand. He put out his hand. Now, he didn't put out his hand to push this man aside. He didn't put out his hand and say, stop, don't come any nearer. I don't want to deal with your leprosy. No, he put out his hand as an open gesture. Come nearer to me. I think this is an encouragement to you and me. Jesus is approachable by sinners. He is approachable by sinners. So he stretches out his hand, but he's also then a compassionate helper. In fact, in Mark 1:41, as Mark recounts this, he tells us that Jesus was moved with compassion. And I want you to see, I hope you see the compassion that our Lord has here. Not only does he reach out his hand showing he is approachable, but he touches him. This is huge. He touches a leper. Now again, Jesus here is taking a risk. Nobody touched lepers. That was unheard of. We look at, again, in Leviticus in chapter 14, and if you want some additional reading for this Lord's Day, Leviticus 13 and 14 tell you all that you need to know about leprosy and how it was dealt with by the law. But Leviticus chapter 14 in verse 46, speaking of those who would be around places in which leprosy or diseases were found, it speaks of one who goes into a house. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut up shall be unclean until evening. So if even going into a house is going to make you unclean, what is touching a person with leprosy going to do to you? It's going to make you unclean. Now again, we're not told how long this man had been suffering with this condition, but remember, he had to dwell alone. And so if it were years that he had been dealing with this, human touch may have been something that he had not felt for years. Human touch may have been something that he had not felt for years. And yet here Jesus reaches out and he touches him. One commentator puts it this way: the one who was touched with all of our infirmities, Hebrews 4:15, now touches us in our infirmities. And I think there's a lesson here for us, because I think we can not only not extend our hand, but we don't want to get our hands dirty. I don't want to touch your problems. I don't want to touch your life. I don't want to deal with your life. I've got enough problems of my own. But are you willing to reach out? Are you willing to touch the untouchable? Knowing that you yourself are untouchable and that Christ has reached out to you. You ought to. So he's a compassionate helper. But then we see the answer to the leper's question. Not only is Jesus a compassionate helper, but he is a willing helper. A willing helper. This was the question. If you are willing, and Jesus responds in verse 13, I am willing. I will it to be so. Here's the answer. I am willing to help you. And this is the mind of Christ towards sinners. The mind of Christ toward sinners, toward those who come to him with true faith, is I am willing to do all that is for your good. I am willing. J.C. Ryle writes in his commentary on Luke this, and it's a bit of an extended quote, but it's so good. Speaking of Christ's will toward us for salvation, listen to this. Let us always remember that if men are not saved, it is not because Jesus is not willing to save them. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He has no pleasure in the death of him who dies. He would have gathered Jerusalem's children as a hen gathered her chickens, if they would only have been gathered. He would, but they would not. The blame of the sinner's ruin must be borne upon himself. It is his own will and not Christ if he be lost. Where's the responsibility? Responsibility is clearly with man. And so Christ then, as this man does come to him, responds and says, I am a willing helper. And then he demonstrates that he is able, answering that second statement. And he says this, be cleansed. Be cleansed. Jesus is an able helper. It's interesting, the Greek here is in a passive tense. And what that means is that this is something that he says, you're not going to do, but is going to be done unto you, and yet it's a command. He tells him to do something that he cannot do. Isn't that grace? Isn't that God's regenerating work? Isn't that God's healing work? What does God do but tells us to be something we cannot be and then works that in us? He gives us what he calls us to. This man could not go take a bath and wash this leprosy off his skin any more than you and I, by our good works, can take care of our sins. We might take care of the outside, but what does Jesus say would be on the inside? A beautiful tomb of dead men's bones. It's the heart that matters, not the outside. But here's the beautiful truth. Be cleansed. God makes us what we could never make ourselves. God makes us what we could never make ourselves. God cleanses us from a sickness that we could never be relieved of apart from his grace. The sickness of sin. And look what happens. He doesn't say, be cleansed and go and come back in 2 weeks and I'll check like the priest and see if it's still there. No, we're told the leprosy left him immediately. When Christ heals, it is an immediate healing. And we see so much of those today who say they are faith healers. No. They don't see this immediate healing. Now, does God still heal today? Absolutely. Absolutely. We come to him as this leper came to Christ in prayer, and he does respond, but when he heals, then he does so immediately. I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And I think here Jesus is fulfilling that sermon from Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He came, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Why? Because he was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. This man was a captive to his leprosy. And yet Christ came and freed him. Think about what this man would now be able to do. He would be able to go home. See his family. He would be able to go to church, go to the synagogue and worship. But most importantly, he would be reconciled. Reconciled to the covenant community and then to God. And Jesus tells him, he doesn't say go and do nothing, but he says, now go and show yourself to the priest. The law said that he had to show himself to the priest. The priest was the one who could say and declare that he was clean. It took a week-long process, make sure it wasn't coming back. But on the eighth day, he would be determined clean from this leprosy and restored. And then he would make an offering. Notice, when does the offering happen, before or after the cleansing? After. It's an offering of thanksgiving. It's not an offering in order to earn anything from God, but it's an offering that says, God, you have cleansed me. And so we do the same thing, don't we? Why are we here today? We're here to bring forth an offering to God of thanksgiving and praise. Why? Because he's already cleansed us from all of our sin. And so he instructs this leper to go and to do that and to be restored to full social and religious fellowship. He also tells him, don't say anything to anyone else. And he doesn't listen to that because he does tell other people. And the word grows, this report concerning him, more and more, and Jesus gets more clients. More come to him. Multitudes are coming to hear him preach and to be healed by him. So much so that he has to withdraw, we're told in verse 16. He himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. This was his habit. Now, could he have stayed there and done all these things? Yes, but here we see an example for us. He withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. You see, Jesus understood what you and I need to understand. If we are going to be used of God, we need to spend time alone with God. If we're going to be used of God to minister to people, we have to spend time away from people with God. So I would challenge you, how much time do you spend strategically alone with the Lord? Just seeking to be with him. In his word, praying, being changed by him. Jesus knew that importance, and so should we. But the main thing here, the main focus is on the cleansing of a needy man. The word cleansing or to cleanse is used over and over in these passages. This man was coming to the Lord Jesus Christ because he had nowhere else to go. But here's the beautiful truth. There is no case of physical leprosy or spiritual leprosy that is too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ to cure. No case. Nobody's too far gone. He alone is the approachable, compassionate, willing, and able helper. He alone is the one to whom we must come. But that's the key, isn't it? You have to come. This leper came, sought out Christ. But you won't come until you become like this leper. Until you know how desperate your need is. Until you know how dependent you are upon something outside yourself. Until you humble yourself. You need to realize that you are needy people. And there's only one place that you can satisfy that need. We might put it like this. Without Christ, you are desperate, dead in your sins and trespasses, alienated from God. This leper had to be outside the city, alone. Those who are outside of Christ are alone, outside. cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so as you see your great need, though, I hope that you become squeaky wheels or squeaky hinges in prayer. Because just as the squeaky wheel gets the grease, so also only the needy person gets the grace. That's what we see here. And so I want to encourage you to come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly to the only Savior who has been touched with our infirmities, who knows what it is to suffer, who was willing to die for all who will believe in Him, and who proved that He's able to do it. He died and He didn't stay in the grave. He rose again from the dead. And this is especially true as we think about coming to the Lord's Supper. You know, who is the Lord's Supper for? It's for people just like this leper. People just like this leper. Because who are we coming to in the Lord's Supper? Who is it that we spiritually receive in the Lord's Supper but the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, the Lord's Supper is for weak and needy people. The Lord's Supper is for weak or needy people. The Lord's Supper is for people who have nowhere else to turn. Nowhere else to turn. And so as you approach the table today, I want you to remember that you come with nothing. You don't bring your own righteousness any more than you bring your own bread and wine. Your hands are empty. You need to come as a beggar. Come as a beggar. The only thing you're going to bring to the table today is the spiritual leprosy from which you need to be cleansed. That's what you bring. But the wonderful news is that Christ hears the needy. And He answers the needy. And every person who comes to Him by true faith always receives all the grace that they desperately need. Amen. Let us pray. God, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. And help us to know our need. To know that we are desperate. That we are completely dependent upon You. To humble ourselves. To come boldly before Your throne of grace. And to know You as the willing and able God. Who will give us all that is necessary for this life and the life to come. And now prepare our hearts to come to Your table, to approach You, to be fed spiritually upon our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.